I want you to turn tonight to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. Thank you again for being in the house of God on a Sunday night. Amen.
Amen.
Good crowd for a Sunday night. And thank you for being here tonight. God's book of wisdom. That's the book of Proverbs. God's book of wisdom. You know, there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And if you say, well, preacher, I don't know what to do in times of stress. I don't know what to do in the times of problems and heartaches and things like that. There's a chapter for every day of the month that you can take and sit down and read it every day. And it will be a help and a strength to you. And as I was reading through the book of Proverbs, a passage came to my mind. This very first chapter. And I'm going to read just the first 19 or so verses, but I want to read this to you today. It said, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be as an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. We're going to stop right there. I want you to think about it tonight. In the world in which we live tonight, we're living in a world where there is a lot of sin. It's ever rampant in our world today. And it seems like folks are not ashamed of their sin anymore. They're bold in their sin. They seem to actually be just snubbing God and just saying, I'm going to do what I want to do no matter what God says. There's an awful lot of sin along with the continual attacks and the demonic enticements that are being presented and placed upon every one of us that live upon this earth. And over the times, you'll look at all the ways that we're being enticed to do wrong. Okay? Now, it goes from overindulging in delicious tasting chocolates. Okay? And while sitting half-clothed on some beach in the Pacific somewhere, all the way to gambling and drinking wines and liquors and all these things at the local casino. And men and women everywhere you go, it seems like they're being enticed by the devil to live their life to the fullest degree, to satisfy every pleasure that they have, and to sin and to do whatever pleases the flesh. This has been what the devil has done ever since the Garden of Eden. He's tried to entice man. He's tried to cause mankind to think, well, we know more than what God knows. We have a better plan for our lives than God could ever have for our lives. And here, as we look in this verse, found in verse number 10, the Bible said, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Consent thou not. That word entice here literally means to incite or to instigate something bad by exciting a hope or some sort of desire to do evil and then to be able to get away with the performing of it. Now you think about that. That's what Satan wants to do to each of us. Now, tonight, folks, I want you to understand something. If you know Christ Jesus as your own personal Savior, you've been born again. There is nothing in this world that can change that fact. You can never be unborn again. Amen? Amen. You can never be unborn. We will never be lost. God doesn't lose His jewels. Amen? Amen. God cannot lose us. He knows us. He knows us by name. He knows all the hairs on our head, and He knows those that are wanting and desiring hairs on their head. Amen? He knows all that. Amen. But listen to me tonight. To induce or to entice or to seduce is to lead someone astray from the truth and to lead them astray from the righteousness. And that seems to be the main theme of this word here in the Bible. Entice is to lead someone away from righteousness, is to cause them to do that which is wrong. And although you and I can never be unsaved, okay, the devil wants to make us to be ineffective in our life and in our testimony for the Lord. If he can cause you to do something that you don't really want to do, but if he can entice you, if he can present some sort of a temptation to you that you will follow after and which will cause your testimony for Christ to be tarnished or ruined, he'll do it. And Solomon here is talking to his sons and he's saying, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. In other words, do not go along with them. Don't go along with them. The devil wants to allure men's hearts. He wants to draw their hearts away from God through the false hopes of making sin to be pleasurable to the eye. Okay? Is that not what he did in the Garden of Eden? He made that fruit that God said, don't eat of it lest you die. He made it pleasurable to their eye. And so pleasurable to one's thoughts. And so easily obtainable in one's life. It used to be that you were not able to buy drugs and marijuana and all that stuff. Unless you went some dark hidden place at night or some underground place. But here now people are growing it in their yards. They're growing it. And they're making money on it. And it seems to be legalized everywhere you go nowadays. It's legalized. And man, you can go out somewhere and people are drinking. They don't think anything about it. There's no shame in sin. And the devil is trying to do everything that he can do to allure men's hearts away from God. But folks, I want you to remember something tonight. The devil is a liar. Amen?
Amen.
And the alluring temptations and the enticements that he presents to us are only a smokescreen. It's a smokescreen. He doesn't show you what's on the other side of that sin. He doesn't show you that. He wants you only to see the pleasurable side of it. And you know, when Jesus talked and made his comments about Satan, he said this in John 8:44. You know this verse. And I want to remind you of it once again. Jesus said there in John 8:44, speaking of Satan, he said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Boy, that's some bad things to say about somebody, isn't it? But it was the truth. And if anybody knew the truth, Jesus knew the truth about Satan. Now, as Solomon instructed his children here, he did this, number one, because he loved them. He loved them. He cared for them. He cared for their soul. He wanted them to come and serve the Lord and do what was right in the eyes of God. And so this evening, as I preach this message to you, I also, as Solomon, I want to instruct you as brothers and sisters in Christ, as our pastor does. Thank God for the message this morning. He spoke our hearts with that. He instructed us in the paths of righteousness. And because of that, our pastoral staff today, because we love you, we teach the truth. Listen, they teach these boys and girls the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Hey, listen, you might get shot in the eye with a water gun today, but if those kids get saved, you won't get shot somewhere else in a drugstore somewhere or anything like that, because they'll come to know Jesus as their Savior. And so tonight, I want to preach to you this simple message. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Consent thou not. Now let's look at it tonight from the Word of God. Let's pray, and then I'm going to present the message to you tonight. Father, Lord, I do love you tonight, and I thank you for the privilege that you have given unto me to give this word tonight to your people. I pray, Lord, that you'll help me in the time that I have remaining tonight to be able to give this message in such a way that folks, when the tempter comes and tries to draw us away from truth and tries to draw us away from righteousness and tries to draw us away from serving you, God, as we know we ought to, God, that we'll not consent, we'll not go along with him, but Lord, we will stand as good soldiers of the faith. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our pastor as he drives tonight, protect him, keep him safe, give him the words to say for the funeral service tomorrow. And I pray, dear God, that you'll bless our service here tonight. We'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to look at a couple facts tonight. Three things. Number one, the fact of enticement. The fact of enticement. Where did it all begin? Where did enticement of sin all begin? It began all the way back in the Garden of Eden, did it not? There in Genesis chapter number 3, we read these words. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And here in this passage, we see the very first act of enticement. To allure mankind away from following after the commandments of God. Satan's plan is to draw you and draw me away from the one who created us and loved us, who breathed in our bodies the breath of life so that we might be a living soul. And Satan wants to draw us away from all that. And it all began with Satan's desire to entice mankind to disobey and to sin against God, his creator. Now, look at how he did it. Number one, Satan went to somebody who was not there when God spoke his commandment. He went to Eve. Notice here, he did not go to Adam. If you look in the Word of God, you read in chapter number 2 of the book of Genesis, God had placed man, the man that he had created in the garden, and given him authority and dominion over everything, and he gave him the opportunity to do all kinds of things there in the garden. And God looked down and he said, listen, Adam, you can have any of this. All of this is yours. All of this is yours. Do with it as you will. But there's one tree in the midst of this garden. I don't want you to eat of it. And that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in the day that you do, ye shall surely die. Adam knew what God said. He was there when God said it. Eve had not yet been created. Now think about this just a moment. Eve had not yet been created. So Satan went to somebody who was not there when God spoke his commandment. And Eve was simply trusting the words of somebody who was there when God said what he said. Now I want you to see the correlation here. I want you to see the picture of what we're seeing here. I wasn't there when Jesus was born and laid in a manger. But there was somebody that was, and they wrote about it in this word. I was not there when he spoke, "Peace, be still," to the mighty seas that were raging, and the seas calmed. I wasn't there. I wasn't there when they crucified him and nailed him to a cross and blasphemed and spit upon him and called him all sorts of names, then took his broken body down from that cross and laid it in a tomb, rolled that stone in front of it, and he was there for 3 days and three nights. I was not there. I was not there when he arose again and conquered death and hell and the grave. I was not there when he stood before his disciples and he told them, "Listen, I'm going to give you a job to do, and that is to reach the world with the message of the gospel beginning right where you live in Jerusalem." I wasn't there. I was not there when he led them up a hillside and told them, "Listen, I'm going away, but I'm coming back again to get you one day." I was not there when they watched him ascend back up into heaven, and two men in white apparel stood by them and said, "Man, why are you standing here looking up to heaven? Get busy. Do what he said do." Okay? I wasn't there. But the Holy Spirit of God was there. And the Holy Spirit of God inspired men of God to write those words in this book. And by faith, I believe what this book says. Amen. Amen. Why? Because it is the Word of God. Eve was not there when God told Adam, "Don't eat of that fruit." I imagine because he loved her, Adam told his wife, said, "Eve, God has said we're not to eat of this fruit. So don't go near it. Don't go around it. Don't touch it. Don't go shopping in the garden for anything else. Okay? On that tree. Don't do it." Why did he do that? Because he loved her. And he wanted her to stay away from it. But you know what? Even though we know that our Heavenly Father loves us, Satan comes to us and he says the same thing that he said to Eve on that day. "Yea, hath God said?" Can you really believe that Bible? Can you really believe the promises that God has supposedly given you in that book written by men? Listen to me. The devil is a liar, folks. Amen. And he gives the fact of enticement. He tries to entice and allure people to think that God did not write this book. I want you to understand something. God did write this book. Amen. And you and I and everybody else that ever stood up will stand before God, will give account unto God as Christians from the words of this book. And those that are lost will stand in judgment from the books that are written here. All 66 of them. And folks, the devil wanted to take somebody that was not there and tempt them to think that God didn't mean what he said when he said what he meant. That's what the devil does. But folks, I want you to understand this too. It all began there with man in the Garden of Eden. But I want you to see where it led to. I want you to see where it led to. They saw things now as Satan would have them see it, instead of seeing how God wanted them to see it. They saw things as the devil painted his beautiful picture. "Oh, look at this fruit. This tree's better than any other tree around. Oh, look at the fruit. It's pleasant to your eyes. Man, it'll make you wise. You'll be as gods. Oh, it's just going to be great." And he painted the illusion that it was better than anything else around. And the Bible says here in verse number 6 in the book of Genesis chapter 3, when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And you know what? When the woman saw things the way Satan wanted her to see things, she looked, she saw, and she considered only those things that were good in her eyes. Folks, that's how the devil entices us today. To get us to think, oh, this looks good. Man, think about it. Man, this is great. I can do something here that nobody else can do. Man, I've got something great here. And he deceived her into thinking that those things were actually pleasant and appealing to the eyes and would be things that would make her even wiser than God. Folks, can I say this today? You and I are not more wise than God. We are not more wise than the God who created us. We don't know as much as he does. And this is the same way that Satan entices folks today to sin against God. He makes appeals to the flesh, to the pride of life, to the lust of these things. Then, once she had it in her mind that to disobey the God was the word of God was a good thing and not a bad thing, she enticed her own husband and gave unto him with her. Adam was there. He knew. He knew what God said. But Adam made a choice to disobey the word of God. And then, after they saw things the way that Satan would have them see it, when they took of that fruit, they were enticed of Satan. They were allured away from the things of God and from doing what God said do. They now saw what they did, even as God saw what they did. They saw it as sin. You know what? The sad thing in our lives today is that most folks, they look at sinful things and all the things that are offered unto us today in this world. We look at it with the thought that, you know what? I can get away with this. It's not that bad. Surely, you know, it's not that bad. And we don't think about it being that bad until we actually do that sin. And then those of us that are saved and we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and the Spirit of God says, no, you ought not be doing that. Oh, don't worry about it. It's all right. It's okay. Listen, when they ate of that fruit, their eyes were indeed opened. They were opened. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 said this, when they did what they did, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now they not only saw themselves as God saw them, but now they were ashamed of the consequences that had come upon them when they chose to sin against God. And that led to verse number 8 in Genesis chapter 3, how that they now knew that they were separated from God by their sin. Folks, listen to me today. The devil wants to separate us from God by our sin. He wants us to be separated from God. He wants us to feel guilty when we sin. And we ought to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. But you know what happens? Look what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Before they chose to do what God said not do, they had fellowship with God. They walked with God in the cool of the day through the garden. Can you imagine walking with God? I wonder if God did with them as we used to do with our children when they were small. We'd just take them by the hand and just go walking. We'd swing our arms and just carry on and just have a good time together. I remember one time I was carrying my daughter, and she was kind of small. And I never knew where cottage cheese came from until one day she was hot and I was bouncing her and I had it land on my head. All right. So I've never eaten cottage cheese since then. Never done it. But you listen to me today. They had fellowship with God. And Satan didn't like that. Folks, you have fellowship with God today. Amen. By not being allured, by being enticed to sin and go against the things of God. You have fellowship. We have it here tonight. We have it this morning in church. We have it on Sunday night. We have it on Wednesday night. We have fellowship with God. Why? Because we are walking with Him in fellowship. But when they chose to disobey God, look what happened. When God came looking for them, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. They hid themselves. They weren't playing hide and seek. They weren't playing a game. They were now ashamed of what they had done. And they realized that they had been fooled by Satan. And Adam realized he had disobeyed God. He had chosen to disobey the direct commandment of God. And it brought separation. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. You see, Satan had told them it was all right to disobey. But now that they had, they discovered that they were wrong to think that way. And folks, you know what the sad thing about sin is? Many people don't come to fully understand and realize that the thing that they're considering is sin until they perform it and they ruin their lives. They ruin their testimonies. They ruin their fellowship with the Lord God. Look what the Bible said in verses 9 and 10. Now, because of their sin, they were ashamed of their condition. They were afraid to face God. So they made their own way to feel righteous in the eyes of God and try to hide their sin. In verses 9 and 10, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Folks, the fact of enticement to sin is real. It's real. Right. You may say, "Well, I'm a born-again child of God." You are one that the devil is after. Because you hold within your grasp the living Word of God. Amen. You bear in your life the testimony of what God can do for someone who was a sinner. He cleanses us. He makes us whole. He makes us a new creature in Christ. But if Satan can entice you and allure you to turn away and to disobey the Word of God, he's got you exactly where he wants you. The fact of enticement is real, and it has great and dreadful consequences. Therefore, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't do it. But then secondly, I want you to see this. The fear of enticement. Now, we oftentimes look at that word fear in several different ways. My wife fears mice. Okay? She fears snakes. She fears a checkbook that has no money in the bank. Okay? All of these things she fears, okay? There is something there that she fears, okay? I fear that myself, all right? But you know what? There is a fear that is a good fear. And I want you to see something here as we look at this, what it means to fear or to be afraid of something. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, Solomon wrote these words. He said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now what that means is that fear, that reverence, that awesome respect and honor that we as God's dear children ought to have for God and who He is, it's just the beginning of true knowledge and true wisdom and understanding of God's will for our lives. God has a plan. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But look at the last part of that very same verse. Solomon says, "But fools despise wisdom. They despise wisdom. They despise instruction. That's what I've noticed about this generation today. They don't like instruction. They don't like being corrected. They despise truth. Truth is something no one wants to listen to today. And a fool is someone that has no fear of God. They have no reverence for God or His word, no respect, no honor for God. And the psalmist David, the father of King Solomon, wrote in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, and again over in Psalm chapter 53, verse 1, he said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." David said, "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." But folks, I want you to understand, there is a good fear today. There is a good fear, a reverential fear that brings godly enlightenment to our hearts and wisdom to our lives. While there is also a bad fear. A bad fear is that which is no godly enlightenment. There is no godly wisdom, but there's only darkness. And there's only a deep dread of God generated by that lack of reverence or respect for God. There are two different kinds of fears. Can you see the difference in the two tonight? Do you understand that tonight? There are two different kinds of fears. One is a godly fear, while the other is ungodly fear. One is a good fear, and the other is a bad fear. Last night I was here, and I'd been here for a good while, and working on trying to finish up our Sunday school lesson, and I was working on the message here for tonight. I had the class in New Zealand last night over the internet, and it began to thunder. I heard rumbling outside, and I thought, what in the world is going on? And when I looked outside, it looked like there was a river going down the parking lot here at the church. The rain was coming down so hard. And I looked out my window. I pulled up the blind. I looked out through my window, and I saw my van sitting out there. And the first thing I thought, my goodness, look how it's raining. Thank you, Lord, for washing my car today. Amen. It needed it. And God just washed it so clean and pretty. And I got to thinking about the power of our God. Amen. Who commands the lightning. Who walks across the clouds of the sky, and we hear the thunder of His footsteps. Can you imagine what God, our God, that saved us can do? And I thought about the mighty power of our almighty God. I stand literally tonight in awe and in great wonder of the great power that our God possesses. The great power that He had to be able to speak and say, "Let there be," and all that is came to be. That's the God that we serve tonight. And yet that great and mighty God is the same one that dwells within my heart and my soul today. Listen, what a great God. What an almighty God. He's the one that spoke, "Peace, be still," to my storm-tossed life as a 15-year-old boy. And He saved my soul. I stand in amazement and wonder at the God who was willing to take on flesh and come to this earth and offer Himself a ransom for my sin, for my soul, to do for me what I could not do for myself. I stand in awe and reverential fear of that God. He faced on the cross all the punishment for my sin, and yet He loved me. He could have called down legions of angels to deliver Him. He told Pilate that. But He chose not to do that. So that I could one day be with Him in heaven. So that you could one day be with Him in heaven. Why did He do that? Because He loved us. That is the God that I fear. That is the God who gives me the fear of enticement. To stay away from it. To do that which God said not do would be sin. But to stay away from that is the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. Do you understand that tonight? You see that? Solomon said here in our text verse this evening, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And then he goes on to say in verses 10 through 16, he said, if they say, now let me say this, you're going to have friends and family, co-workers, folks that you live beside. They're going to come to you and say, oh, come on, let's go do this, let's go do that. And you're going to have to make some choices in your life, folks. We each have to make some choices. And Solomon is trying to teach his sons, his children here, some wisdom to follow after God. And he says to them, he says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and as whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Then look what he said. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. So what is Solomon trying to teach us here tonight? What is he trying to teach me? What is he trying to teach you tonight in this passage of Scripture? Simply this, that if you know the Lord God as your own personal Savior, and the Holy Spirit of God dwells within your heart, and you are His child, and you fear, and you honor, and you respect, and you glorify Him as God your Creator, God your Savior, then the fear of enticement to sin has no power over you. And folks, listen to me. Those folks that say they are our friends many times, well, if you were really my friend, you'd do this with me. You would go this place, or you would do this, or listen, God understands if you skip church on Sunday. Don't worry about it. God understands. Show me that in this book right here. Show me that somewhere. That would be by me saying, hey, listen, just one time, go out with some old girl somewhere. My wife will understand. Just one time. My wife is too good a shot for me to do that, amen? I gotta sleep somewhere at night. Listen to me. If we love the Lord and we honor Him as God, if we do what we're supposed to do, you know what? When the devil tries to allure us, we can stand before the Lord and say, God, be thou my strength. Amen. Be thou my God. And Solomon said here, he said, my son, don't even go near them. Don't walk with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed blood. Live in the fear of the Lord. Child of God, live in the fear of the Lord, and you'll not have to worry about the fear of the devil's enticement. But listen, number three is this. I want you to see the last thing, and that is the fidelity of enticement. The fidelity of enticement. Look at verses 15 through 19. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. The devil is going to try to entice us to give in to the lusts of our eyes. And yes, the lust of the flesh, as well as the pride of life itself. The devil's going to try to allure us to think that we can get away with sin as children of God. Well, God will forgive you. Don't worry about it. Just go and have your time. Do whatever you want to do. take that money, cheat that person. But folks, God wants you and me to live a life in fidelity, in faithfulness. Amen. And in the careful observance of our duty and our responsibility unto the God who has birthed us into his family. Listen to me, like, I want you to understand what I mean when I say that we as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we need to live in the fidelity of enticement in our Christian lives. I want you to look at something in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Turn over to the book of Hebrews tonight, chapter number 10. And I want you to begin here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22. Look at verse number 22. Here the Bible says, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, you and I tonight, we need to come and draw near unto God with a true and sincere heart, in full assurance of our faith in Christ Jesus, purged and cleansed by the precious blood. And as the priests that would go and enter into the temple, they would wash themselves and they would cleanse themselves in pure, clean water. My water tonight says pure life. I like that. Amen. Pure life. I want to keep my life pure. And they would cleanse themselves before they came into the presence of God. They had that kind of respect and honor for the Lord. And why is this? It's so that we might hold fast our profession of faith without wavering, without compromise, when the trials and the persecutions of our faith come and they hit us head on. We need to be able to stand when the devil does all that he can do to cause us to vacillate and to be tossed to and fro on the seas of life, like a ship tossed in the winds upon the sea. We need to be able to stand true to God. Why? And how can we do that? Because he is faithful that promised. Amen? Amen. We have his word on it tonight. Then we look at verse 24. Where we are to consider one another. We're to consider one another. To provoke unto love and to good works. And that means that each of us has a duty and responsibility as a born again child of God to love our brothers and sisters in Christ enough as to provoke and to righteously entice them to love and to stay faithful unto the God who saved them. When they get too close to the things of this world, we love them enough to say, hey, what you doing? What are you doing? We ought not be doing this. Let's not do this. And we provoke them unto good works so that we could continue to serve the Lord. Listen, that means that you don't get upset when a brother or sister in Christ calls you on the phone and says, hey, I missed you at church on Sunday. Boy, I sure hope to see you tonight. Hey, I've been missing you on Wednesday. Man, I hope to see you Sunday morning for Sunday school. You don't get mad at that. You get glad at that because somebody loved you enough to try to provoke, to try to urge you to do that which is right in the eyes of God. You don't get mad when the pastor preaches a message and not meaning to step on your toes. He's aiming for your heart, but he may step on your toes and you get all upset. Say, well, I'm not going back to that preacher. He's just a legalist. Good night. He does what he does for us because he loves us enough to do it.
Amen.
The shepherd takes care of his sheep. Amen. He leads them in paths of righteousness. He leads them in the green pastures where they can be fed. But he also protects them from the wolves that come along. Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? When God allows us to encourage others, we ought to be thankful for that. Thank God for people that will be willing to encourage us. And look what he said. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, not just forgetting about coming together like we're doing tonight and worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord God, hearing the good music tonight, hearing two great messages tonight. Amen. I mean, boy, that's great. Where can you go and hear two great messages on a Sunday night? Amen. But listen to me tonight. Not forsaking the manner, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some say, oh, it's not important. I don't care to go to church on Sunday night. That preacher preached long enough on Sunday morning. I heard two Sunday school lessons. I heard a Sunday school lesson and a preaching service. I've got all the church I need for this week. Listen, I go home every day. Every day. Because I long to have fellowship with my wife. She's a good cook. When I got married, I weighed 144 pounds, sopping wet and full of bananas. And look what that woman has done to me. She's been good to me, amen? God's been good to her too, amen? Listen, but I look forward to being there with her. I want that fellowship. I want to be able to rejoice in the wife of my youth. I want to be able to do those things. And you and I ought to want that same type of fellowship when we come to the local church, our church service, and we fellowship with one another, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting, encouraging one another. What? And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, look around you tonight. Look around you tonight in our world. The Middle East is man, that's the thermometer you need to watch. And right now, all those things are coming together. You see, Russia and North Korea, they've thrown out China. China's all upset now. And now they're ganging up and thinking they're going to do this and do that. And all these nations, like Pastor talked about this morning, are coming together against one little nation called Israel. Why is that? Because God won't let the devil have what the devil wants to have. God says, this is my people, this is their land, and I'm going to give it to them. And they're saying, oh, no, you're not. And God says, oh, yes, I am. And we ought to want to be together in the house of God, fellowshipping one another more than we've ever done before as we see the day approaching.
Amen.
We ought to want to be there. Listen, the Bible said, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. As you look around you tonight, you see the signs of that day coming. When the Lord Jesus will indeed, as he promised, step out on the clouds and call his children home. The Bible says that he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Our assembling together here tonight, today, anytime the doors are open, all it just be a little touch of what we're going to have in heaven. Amen. That's what it ought to be tonight. And in that passage of Scripture from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said in verse number 18, he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So tonight, instead of allowing the devil to entice us to do wrong, we need to be willing to entice, to encourage, provoke one another unto good works and to live for God. Amen. Because that day of His coming is soon approaching. It may come in our lifetime, it may not. But you know what, folks? I want to be found faithful. As long as I can draw breath, I want to be found faithful to live for Him. Amen. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't lose your testimony for God. Don't compromise the Word of God. Don't become lax in your love and your faithfulness unto the Lord and to the place that we come to worship together. Don't let the devil allure you away from serving God.
Amen.
In such a time as this. If the devil throws out all of his enticements that he can muster up, and he does all that he can do to cause you to cast in your lot among those who are not serving God, and those who have tucked their tails and said, I'm not going to stand up for that stuff anymore, and they've compromised, they've disobeyed the Word of God. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with gold. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. If they come to you and say that, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
Amen.
Consent thou not. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
And consent thou not. Let's pray tonight. I know that tonight there are many battles going on. And the devil is trying to lure us away, trying to cause us to think that what we're doing for God is of no use, of no value. It doesn't really matter. But folks, it matters to God.
Yep.
And it ought to matter to each of us tonight. My son, if sinners entice thee, and they will, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Father, I've done my best tonight to give the message that you said to give. And Lord, I want to be a help to your people tonight. I know our pastor wants our church to stand true and faithful as it has for all these many years against the allurements that the devil throws out there, against the enticements that he offers in this world of sin. But God, the only way that we can do that is if we will commit ourselves unto you and if we will fear the Lord and awesomely respect and reverence you and your word. God, that's only the beginning of the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding that you will give unto us to stand true and faithful in a world that is not true and faithful. Help us, O God, tonight as Christians to commit our lives unto you and to do that which is right in your eyes. And Lord, if there be someone here tonight that's never been saved, I pray, O God, that you will speak to their heart. Help them, Lord, to see their need to be saved and trust you tonight before it's eternally too late. And God will thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.